Welcome to iHeartGeek.
And welcome to another episode of iHeartGeek. This show is brought to you by Gordon Ramsay, who wants to remind you that your food is disgusting. We're doing competitive cooking shows today, and this is going to be an absolute blast. Let me introduce you to the panel real quick. First up, we have me, Dub, and I do something. And then we have Miss Courtney. How are you doing today?
Good. Let's do this. I'm ready.
We're all
Courtney
competitive
can
today.
Cook. Courtney can cook.
And we have Mr. Chris Giorgetti. How are you doing, bud?
I am doing good in cloudy New Jersey. There is no sun coming in from this window, so I won't be blinded halfway through.
It's because it's Jersey.
Also,
we have Mr. Skeeter. How are you doing today, bud?
I'm awesome. Talking about all this fun stuff is making me hungry.
Hungry. Oh, we're going to have that voice today. Outstanding.
So you're going for the NPR voice today? Rock on.
And then finally, we have Miss Satomi. How are you doing today?
Hello, my dears, and welcome to the show. Yes.
Julia Child.
We're going to be making a bouillabaisse.
I love it.
Was she the first?
One of the first TV cooks. Yeah.
You know, with that, that's our segue in. What makes we're talking cooking shows and / competition cooking shows? What makes for a good cooking show in general?
The host.
The host. It has to be the host.
Has to be the host.
Okay. What do you want in a host then?
Just like that brings somebody that brings the. I mean, depending on the show, is it a dark theme? Is it what kind of theme is it? I think somebody that brings
a dark cooking show. Yeah, this is your like Sith cooking show right here.
Yeah. Nice.
Like, everything has to be cooked by lightsaber.
Look at Chopped, or look at like those. Okay. The kind of the theme is real. The mood light is setting. But if you looked at something like Worst Cooks, where it's like bright and light, and it's Anne Burrell, and you get Anne Burrell all day because she's my lady
so
crush.
So it's for you. It's just about the charisma of
the host.
Fair enough. Anybody else got anything that makes a good cooking show versus a bad one? We've all seen bad ones too.
I think it's just the personality of the host that's on it. I mean, we all watch Gordon Ramsay to watch him scream at people, except when we watch like the Junior Chef.
That's what I want to hit on. Yeah.
Sweet and kind to the little children.
And I prefer that at those episodes, to be honest.
Me too.
Yeah. So, and I mean, like you watch Nigella Lawson and she looks like she's this overindulgent posh lady making these simple foods. And I mean, so I think it's just the personality of the host that you're enjoying.
I also think there's this weird balance between either something that you look at and you're like, that's a challenge, but maybe I could pull that off at home. Or holy smokes, that is insane what they just did. I could never do it in a million years, and watching this is like watching an athlete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's
kind of like Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, like on the Great British Bake Off, like that show can be so inspiring. It's like I've tried to bake some things that they've done on the show. Most of them have burned in my oven because I am not.
That's how you roll.
That's why it smells funny at your place.
Yeah. But then at the same time, on the Great British Bake Off, they're like, bake this like 7-layer cake that has to be 10 feet high in under like 2 hours, and they do it, and it's like, how? It's just like it's got to be fun and challenging. If it's just like what's that show, Holiday Bake Off, where they're just trying to be like they're trying too hard to be funny, it's like all the jokes are really, really bad Christmas holiday jokes. It's just like, that's not fun.
I'm okay. I like it if the contestants are doing that, but not if the host. I like it when the contestants are punny and just quirky. I don't want my host being that quirky.
Yeah.
because I can't take him seriously at that point. And I'm rooting for the guy that's quirky that's cooking. I'm not rooting for the host that's quirky.
It seems too contrived. The other thing I found interesting that I've noticed more lately is how much editing can make a difference.
Oh, yeah.
In a good or a bad show. And there are a couple shows. All right. I'll take the hate. Sugar Rush, this standard Sugar Rush. It's not my cup of tea. It's not my cup of tea. After a while, I realized it's a combination, even though I love me some Adrian Zumbo. Is that his name? Even though I love him. I think it's the editing. It's so like quick cut that I just sort of feel nauseous about halfway through and I don't want to eat anything.
The girl in that annoys me.
Yeah, well, she is.
I think part of that editing with the quick cuts, what you're talking about, and I don't think that anybody realizes it, but you want to see more of the cooking process because you want to think that you can do it. If you're quick cutting and it's all just the drama about, oh, it fell, what do we do? And that's what they focus on for 20 minutes. You don't feel like you're learning. And therefore, I think in the back of your head, whether you know that you're thinking it or not, it's like, well, I'm not learning anything. Why am I wasting my time? I can go watch Survivor because it's kind of the same thing.
Well, they're cutting out the magic.
I think that's why people like the Great British Baking Show so much, even Americans, is one, they're so nice and helpful to each other.
Yes.
Like it's a competition, but you'll see somebody going, oh no, I'm not going to be able to get these boulevards filled in time. I'm done. Let me help you. I mean, that's what I think is so much fun about that one is they're just so nice and helpful. But like Satomi, like I look at that and go, I could do that. Not 2 hours, but I could do that.
Yeah. It's got to be attainable. Your cooking show needs to be The Girl Next Door. It's something that's completely attainable that you can do if given the time, you could do it. And I think and it may not be as good as theirs, but you're learning this. I figured this out. I think that's what people like about these shows, honestly.
Versus completely impossible, so you feel like it's wizardry. Yeah. Like you're literally watching Gandalf.
Well, Cake Boss was another one of those. Like, huh? Yeah. What the heck? Yeah. I'm going to take this fondant.
I want the kitchen or the pantry that these people use. Like, the Food Network kitchen or pantry, I want that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Open access. That would be amazing.
Their pantry's bigger than my entire kitchen.
I just want a kitchen that's bigger than my bathroom.
You live in Jersey.
Tiny kitchen. My apartment.
Kitchen is currently in my living room, so.
Yeah, we need to work on that one of these days.
Yeah, it's coming. It's coming. This is what happens when you remodel your own kitchen.
Yeah. You know what I really like that I think they do a really good job on the editing is the barbecue shows. Because you have 6 hours to cook something, and that way they can put in all the drama and all the other stuff without feeling like you're missing steps. But it's like that 6 hours of smoking, there's no getting around it. You know, I think they do a great job about the editing with all
that's
that, with
going back to what you're saying.
Watching 6 hours or watching the barbecue shows?
Watching 6 hours of meat.
They should just have like a camera on the meat for 6 hours.
I am in. No, I don't think you understand.
I stand corrected. Apparently it is good.
Well, I think watching cooking shows, watching barbecue shows is kind of like watching golf. If you don't golf, you cannot enjoy watching that sport. If you don't cook or you don't barbecue, you can't enjoy watching that. That's my 2 cents worth.
I enjoy barbecue. I enjoy barbecuing. I don't need to watch meat cook for 6 hours.
Well, you're not watching. You're watching it cook for half an hour, but it's compressed.
Oh no, I'm talking about like if you were. That's why they don't show 6 hours, right?
Yeah,
right.
So let me ask you guys this question. I think this is going to be the funnest question that I ask today. If you go on Hell's Kitchen, let's say, or whatever show you go on, what is your signature dish that you can make that is your show off, your first show off dish? Let me start with Chris on this one.
Yeah.
So it's going to be something with Jersey. I don't know.
Oh, it's going to be up that alley.
Okay.
I make the best baked ziti in the world. That is a fact.
I'll fight you on that.
All right, bring it on.
Well, tell me what's so special about that dish that would be your show-off dish.
So what differentiates my baked ziti from the rest of the world is the sauce. The sauce is key.
The gravy?
I'm kidding.
It's a joke.
You watch your mouth there, son.
So for those of you listening, I'm just going to give you a quick lesson about New Jersey. The red stuff you put on your pasta is called sauce. The brown stuff you put on your turkey and mashed potatoes at Thanksgiving is gravy.
I don't know who calls it gravy for the red stuff.
Well, Polly calls it gravy.
Some Italians do.
Well, they're wrong, in my opinion.
Right. Like, we're Sicilian. We call it sauce.
It's sauce. S-A-W-C-E, sauce. But it's the way I do my sauce is when...
Wow, that goes... It just got
That's
worse.
A long way to get there. This is what happens when you put Italians on a cooking show.
See, what I do, I sprinkle... I sprinkle a little sugar. I put some oregano, some basil, some garlic powder, some onion powder. Trust me, it tastes... Listen, I've made my baked ziti...
You lost me to sugar.
Listen, the sugar adds. I'm not talking about.
It makes the medicine go down.
No, you have to do it. It's to counter the acidity.
Because
I've never put sugar in a sauce before. I learned from my grandma.
Shredded carrots.
So for me, I like a sweeter tomato sauce. So I just sprinkle a little bit of granulated sugar in. Makes a world of difference, and you'll be having seconds and thirds, as most people do when I bake my ziti. So that's the dish I would make.
Fair enough. Skeeter?
Wow. So I do a wonderful stroganoff with homemade noodles. I braise my beef, so it's perfect. It's just everything about it, the gravy, the stroganoff, it just comes together with this wonderful wine sauce. That's my go-to if I want to class it up and go pretty much homemade with everything.
Fair enough.
I think that's my favorite.
Nice. Satomi?
Mine's got to be Japanese gyoza, which is, for those of you who don't know the word, is pot stickers. Ooh. With homemade wrappers, homemade gyoza wrappers. And I have adjusted them before for the vegetarians and vegans in my life. So I'll do them sometimes with sweet potato and a little soy sauce and meating and spring onions. And nice. Then you pan fry it and it's crispy on one side and, you know, nice and chewy on the other side. And it's usually gone pretty dang quick.
Very good.
Very nice.
Courtney?
I'm going to go with pasta alla puttanesca. Ooh. Which is
I love how everyone puts on the heavy accent whenever they say it.
I can't say Italian food without that accent. It's a really simple dish, but it's a really hearty kind of. The story behind it is kind of cool too, but this is a family show, so I can't really say it. But it's got and I do the same thing. I like make usually I'll if I'm gonna do this cooking show and I'm gonna competition, I'm gonna make my own noodles. And then I'll make the sauce with the capers and the anchovies and everything in it. And then it's a real kind of like warming kind of spicy dish.
Very good. I'm pretending like time is not a option on this. So I would probably do my pork loin, which takes me 2 days to make because it sits in a brine for 2 days. I'm not going to tell you what's in it because that's my secret, but it is fantastic. Smoke that bad boy for about 3 hours. We're done, and it will melt in your mouth, and you will, yeah.
can we just have a potluck dinner of all these things we've just mentioned?
Sure, come to this. Make this happen.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes, please. And then, we were talking earlier about Italian cooks and having to pronounce it correctly. So, for all of our listeners out there who don't know, it is bruschetta, not bruschetta, bruschetta.
It's like biscotti.
Oh god! Never taking you to a restaurant.
It's noodles and sauce.
Noodles and sauce.
Noodles and sauce.
Got to say, Jersey sauce.
Noodles and sauce.
Is that what the Toxic Adventure eats?
And peppers. I'm just curious. Yeah.
Okay, this will be a fun little game show that I want to do. It's not a game show, but this is a fun question I want to ask. If I was to say, I want you to pitch me a cooking show, I want to know what your hook is. What is the one? What is the different thing that you're going to do for your food game show? What is going to be your hook? Let's once again start with Chris because he's fun to pick on first.
So on my cooking show, it would be all of Italian food, and we'd call it the Sauce Boss. You make it the sauce.
I want everybody know. From East Coast, I'm guessing.
No, well, I'll go West Coast. I'll go Midwest, Southeast.
He's gonna have me be on as a guest.
I just want to, you know, the whole point of my show is I, as a North Jersey Italian boy, I've had my share of pastas and sauces and dishes. So I want to see how other parts of the country compare to the gold standard outside of Italy. So it'd be the Sauce Boss, and we make it the sauce.
Outstanding. Skeeter.
I would love to do a let's just call it gas station food. So creating gourmet from gas station food. Like
I like that.
You set up in front of an AM/PM and that's what you get. Like you just rock it out.
I wouldn't mind eating at a gas station if that were the case.
Oh, and nothing's off limits inside. I mean, we could choose different gas stations. It could be liquor stores, gas station styles. So,
and you got to go from place to place on a motorcycle.
Yeah,
I'm in. This sounds like fun. Courtney, what about you?
I would do a baking show.
What's the hook? We have a million baking.
I like to bake bread mainly. Mm-hmm. I make other stuff, but I like to bake bread. So every week I would bake a different bread from a different part of the world. So you could see all the different ways that
people. So it's not a competition. It's like a Julia Child.
Kind of, yeah.
Very good. Satomi?
Well, we were talking about how, you know, you watch these shows and you're thinking, okay, maybe I could do that. So my show would be you'd have amateur cooks. Mm-hmm. And then each one would be assigned a mentor chef who would be blindfolded and have to talk them through a high quality gourmet recipe that the amateur chef would have to just be talked through creating. Whoever wins a round gets their chef mentor for, like, you know, 60 seconds or 90 seconds to actually come and help. But otherwise, that chef mentor has to be totally hands off.
Called blind chef. I like it.
Blind chef. I don't know. I'm going to think about that.
Somebody might get mad. I don't know. It's not meant to be. Yeah. So, mine would be, I would do a cooking show for the picky eater. And these people have to make their dish, right? And then they find out who their judge is, and their judge is picky and they don't like certain things. Then they make their dish, then they get an hour to fix it, to make it so that picky eater will eat it.
So you're feeding a bunch of 6-year-olds?
No, you're feeding me, basically. Let's be honest. Oh.
This sounds like a cereal commercial, quite frankly. Only some of you will get that.
Yeah, sadly.
Finish it with Dubby likes it.
I feel so old right now, but okay. Because Chris just went blank on that. It's like, huh?
This coming from the guy that microwaves his ramen.
I never microwave my ramen.
Ramen?
No!
Shame on you.
No.
In a cup. Come on.
No, I would put it in a cup after I cooked it, put Parmesan in it, and then, yeah, that's how I like it.
Oh, that's right. That's
sacrilege.
Right.
Oh, no,
what's
you should.
What's wrong with you?
Have you
people?
Tried it?
Oh, it's good.
Have you tried it?
It's gourmet.
I'm Japanese.
I only buy the microwavable ramen.
Wow, that went off the rails fast. And so to get us back on the rails, let's go over to our listener feedback.
And now, let's see what all of our geek rock stars have to say.
Okay, Courtney, you have some listener feedback for us, and we have a lot today.
Some is not the right word.
What would be the right word?
an explosion of listener feedback. So first off, I want to say thank you to everybody, because there was about 40 of you who commented. So that rocks. You guys are amazing. But because there were like 40 of you, I'm not going to be able to read everybody. So I'm going
to
read.
Oh, and I want to say good job to everybody for actually putting Y. Almost everybody did this time. Y.
Rock on. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Keep the feedback coming. I have to pare it down. I'm sorry. So Sani Kalindo, I'm sorry if I said your name wrong, please forgive me, says Mythical Kitchen because of its variety and creativity. It's also been tagged in the comment, so click on it and you can take a look and see what it's all about. So it's very cool. Our friend Dino at the podcast, I took it away from you,
that hurts,
says he's a Hell's Kitchen fan simply because of its cutthroat competition. The funny thing is the unrated episodes on streaming are about 10 minutes longer with all of the dirty words in them. Ooh. So there's that if everybody likes that. Nick Hardesty, he says he honestly likes to go to YouTube for cooking because they actually cook and they're fairly short. Also, he can search for what ever he fancies instead of being told what to watch them cook, which I kind of did because I go to YouTube for
that's actually a good point.
So Nailed It has come up quite a bit. Herb Skip Sanders has mentioned it, and a couple other people have mentioned it, and for a lot of good reasons. But it's novice bakers trying to recreate specialty cakes and desserts on a comedy style show, and everybody that's mentioned it has talked about how much Nicole Byer is hilarious. Nicole is the host. So there's that. And then Skeeter, I'm skipping you. Wendy Robertson Mace likes the Great British Bake Off, as do quite a few, because they include some science behind the cooking and provide tips and tricks for a variety of baking. And the humor can also be cheeky. She also enjoys Patty's Table with Patty Ginich because I like food she shows how to prepare from scratch, and she gives alternatives in case you don't have a specific spice or ingredient or if you make a mistake. Michelle Silva says Guy's a Grocery Games because as a human, he's an amazing person, and I just like the simplicity of the whole show. It's upbeat, positive, and I like seeing what chefs come up with when they are given only certain things that they can shop for. And there's so many more, but we've just run out of time. No. So I love you all for all of the wonderful feedback, and I'm sorry if I couldn't read you on air.
So we really appreciate this. As I say, this makes our show so much better. We like to, most of the current cast has come off of, they started writing on the listener feedback and then they showed up.
Who knows? Keep writing. Thank you for the Yan Can Cook love.
Yes, there was lots of Yan Can Cook, awesome. And I'm sorry I didn't read that one out, but yes, there's lots of Yan Can Cook love.
And
I
think we'll talk
about. Nice.
Yep, I think we all love Yan Can Cook.
Yeah. I want him to come back.
Me too.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
He might have been the first cooking show that I ever watched, to be honest.
He was mine too.
It's the first one I remember watching.
Well, let's do this real quick before we go on to our game show. What was the first cooking show that made an impact enough that you kept watching it? Let's start with you, Chris.
Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Yeah.
Because, like, The first cooking show I saw was Emeril's old show back. Mm-hmm.
But that didn't make an impact?
No, because I was too young to...
Bam!
Sorry. Yeah, that's all I know. Bam.
That's all anybody
but
knows.
Like Guy Fieri, I remember watching Triple D and seeing all these cool places that are around the country. And Amanda and I have actually gone to some of the places that have been on the show, and he hasn't lied to us once. So it made an impact just to see like how people cook food and make it tasty. Those
Fair
are
enough.
Words.
Nice. So tell me.
Oh, well, first of all, shout out to Triple D. When I was on tour, we actually would look for a Triple D rated restaurant in every city so that we could check it out. So much fun. But I was definitely Yan Can Cook and so can you. And I started watching him really young. like when cooking was the farthest thing from my capability or desire, he was just so fun. He made all of these amazing dishes that looked, I mean, my mouth is watering right now thinking about it. And it seemed attainable. It seemed like he is like the first cheerleader. Well, not the first. Julia Childs was very,
hello.
Yes, yes. She was very encouraging, but I just didn't relate to her. And Yan was my guy.
Outstanding. Courtney?
Yeah, I think it was probably Yan Can Cook was the first one that I ever watched for the same reasons, because he was just, I didn't cook when I was watching it, and I wasn't old enough to know how to cook, but it's like, he was just engaging and enjoyable and fun, and that's why you kept watching it. And I mean, and as I got older, I think the one that had the biggest impact for me was actually a toss-up between Bizarre Foods with Andrew Zimmern and No Reservations with Anthony Bourdain. Because both of them, I mean, they're different shows, but both they went around different places and ate different things in different countries to kind of show that food is a connector for everyone.
Nice.
Have you watched Somebody Feed Phil? Have you guys all watched that?
Never. Not yet, no.
Check it out. Same idea. Except Peter? You want to eat everything.
For me, back when we had the three channels on the TV before got Viacom, the big thing for me was Justin Wilson, the Cajun cook, or Cajun cooking with Justin Wilson. Mm-hmm. And he was the guy that said onion and brought that whole
had the crawdaddies.
It had the mud bugs and the etouffee and all that stuff. He was amazing.
Didn't he used to wear suspenders?
He wore a blue shirt, red suspenders. And he was this old dude that just threw down in the bayou, and that was my first ever gator. Yeah, and then and that grew me into when Food Network came around, the original Iron Chef, like old school, when he'd take the bite out of the bell pepper and the just awesome. That was awesome. Nice. Yeah.
Very good. Mine was either The Kitchen Nightmares. I don't know why, but I love those. I love watching them fix all these mistakes. And there's a really good restaurant here, by the way, Bacon Bar, which is one of his Kitchen Nightmare Rescue, which was just amazing. Or was that Bar Rescue? Anyway, doesn't matter. But I like that style of, okay, well, this is at the bottom, and now we're going to fix it and make it a viable thing again. And it ran for one season, Dweezil Zappa and Lisa Loeb, when they were dating, they had a cooking show. They'd go around the country talking to different chefs, and it was just a fascinating show. If you can find YouTube clips of that, it's just a wonderful show. And that's one of those ones that just really, it caught my attention because I love Dweezil Zappa. So yeah. Okay. So let's move on to our game show.
Here's a generic game show for you.
Okay, so for the game show, I am letting go of the reins. And Satomi, you got it.
All right. Welcome to iHeartGeek's very own cooking competition. May the course be with you. Sponsored by, thank you. Sponsored by Dubs Meat Rub. Reminding you that if it's geeky, it's somebody's yum. I'm going to introduce our contestants today. We have Mr. Crisp Giorgetti. We have Miss Leaky Sage. L-E-E-K-Y. Miss Leaky Sage. I already did. And the proprietor and our sponsor, Dub, of Dub's Meat Rub. And finally, Shishka Skeeter. That was harder to say than I thought it would be.
A little bit.
Anyhow, today's cooking competition is at the top of the show. Our four contestants were given four ingredients. Now they can choose three of the four ingredients or use them all for bonus points to come up with their own meal. It can be a single dish or it can be a meal with sides. And they've had this entire show to figure out what that is. Those ingredients are Tillamore Dew whiskey, so an Irish whiskey. Lucky Charms. Gosh, we went Irish.
We did.
A little bit of... Get your hands off of my Irish whiskey. beef jerky. And our iHeartGeek kitchen has a selection of different flavors of beef jerky. And finally, Cool Ranch Doritos. And again, our iHeartGeek kitchen is fully stocked, so these chefs were able to pull whatever they needed for their special dish. So I would like them to present their dish for judgment. Let's start with Skeeter.
Wow, jumping right out the box. I decided to use all four ingredients in my dish to make a late night and maybe self-medicated meal of a fine. I actually was able to find a wonderful pork jerky back there in the back for our bacon friends. So what I did was I laid the pork in a little bit of Irish whiskey to kind of loosen it up, give it a little bit of a tenderness. Really broke down the Cool Ranch Doritos to coat that bacon in to give it a nice flavor, a little saltiness, more than what it already has. Then I ground the Lucky Charms, rimmed my shot glass, or actually just kind of a quarter rim on my snifter for my whiskey.
That's
and
a good one.
Poured a nice little dessert sipping whiskey with a little rim of sweetness. So we have this little meal there for you.
Very good.
Hope you enjoy.
Excellent. Awesome, excellent. Yes. I really enjoy that treatment of the fact that you chose the pork jerky really speaks to your soul. Excellent. Thank you. All right. Next up, I would like to hear from Dub of Dub's Meat Rubs.
Okay. Don't expect mine to be even nearly as good as Skeeter's. So we'll try that on that one. I concede my defeat. But I also used all four ingredients, and I used them in multiple different dishes that I'm going to make in this meal. To start with, we're going to start with, for our main course, we're going to have a tri-tip. And I'm going to tenderize the heck out of it, smoke it. In the sauce, we're going to have our jerky. I'm going to grind it up, going to mix that into the sauce, cook that into the meat itself, which I think will be kind of yummy. Then we're going to go with a macaroni and cheese that we're going to take the jerky. We're going to have it crushed. We're going to crush the Cool Ranch Doritos. We're going to mix it in, then have a layer of Cool Ranch Doritos on top of it. Let that bake in and enjoy your mac and cheese. For dessert, the wood that I smoked everything in is coated with our whiskey, by the way, to give it that nice whiskey flavoring in the smoke. And then finally, for a dessert, we're going to take our Lucky Charms and we're going to crush it, mix it in, and we're going to have a brownie with the nice little marshmallow chunks. I think will be absolutely delicious. And then finish off with a shot of whiskey because you deserve it after you ate that.
All right. So that's a whiskey. That is a Lucky Charms infused brownie
infused,
that we have.
That's the word I'm looking for. Thank you.
All right. Yeah. Wonderful. Wonderful. I appreciate that you soaked your wood chips before smoking that tri-tip. It's a very advanced technique, so it's good.
It does work.
Studying.
I'll give you that. That does work.
All right. Our next contestant I'd like to hear from is Mr. Crisp Giorgetti. Crisp?
Crispy.
Crisp.
Crisp. Thank you, Satomi. For today's dish, I'm presenting something other than my baked ziti. So I've used three of the four ingredients because I don't like sugary cereals. So as much as everyone loves Lucky Charms, I am not using the Lucky Charms. So first thing I do on this ingredient list is I see we got whiskey. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take some chicken breasts out of the fridge and marinate the chicken in the whiskey for about an hour or so. Then I'm going to fry it on a pan and with a little salt and pepper, boom, that's cooking. So then we have beef jerky and Cool Ranch Doritos. So, fun fact, I've never had beef jerky in my life, but if I had to pick a beef jerky, I would pick Slim Jim because Macho Man Randy Savage is like, slap it to a Slim Jim, can you dig it? Yeah! So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the Slim Jim and the Cool Ranch Doritos. I'm going to put them in my food processor and make a little powder to sprinkle on top of the chicken. Will it taste good? I have no idea, but I hope it will, because then I'm going to pair it with some steamed asparagus and a baked potato. Boom. There's my dish.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate your violence in cooking.
You need to host one of these in real life, Satomi.
Right.
I feel so encouraged right now.
You know, it's... You got to call out the professionals for these. All right. And finally, our final contestant is Miss Leaky Sage. She's known for her Italian cooking and especially her root vegetables. Leaky?
Yes, but I won't be doing any of that today. I'm not nearly as fancy as the other boys. So here we go. I will not be using whiskey because I don't know what to do with it. So for starters, I'm going to make faux ramen. And instead of the beef that you will put in it, we'll be using the beef jerky. You also have to cut down on the salt if you add it in, though, because beef jerky is pretty salty and you actually want to be able to eat this. So by faux, I mean fake ramen. Oh, ramen. See what I did there? Yeah, it's funnier in my head.
Very good, very good.
It's funnier in my head. For
now, you know how I feel.
Right. For the chicken fingers, I'm going to actually crush up our Cool Ranch Doritos by pounding them almost to pulverizing them to a dust. And then I'm going to roll my chicken tenders in it as if you were using it as panko breadcrumbs, but you use Cool Ranch Doritos instead. And then I'm popping them in the air fryer and making chicken fingers and fries. You're welcome. That's and for healthy. Dessert, for dessert, we're going to have a unicorn cheesecake, which will be made with the Lucky Charms. So it is regular cheesecake, but you take the Lucky Charms and you crush them up, and you use the powder with a little bit of butter to make the crust of your cheesecake. You work the marshmallow into the cream cheese mixture for the cheesecake, bake it on up, and then crush them up again, crush up a little bit extra, and coat the top of the cheesecake with it. There you go.
Wow.
Thank you.
All right. Unicorns everywhere. Beware.
They're sad because I'm going to make them into cheesecake.
It's
unicorn
true.
Blood everywhere.
That's true. Excuse me. All right.
Well, that just took all of our confidence away. Thank you.
All right. So to review, we have Shish Kiskeeter with his whiskey pork jerky with Cool Ranch crust and a shot glass rimmed with Lucky Charms. Dub had whiskey smoked tri-tip with jerky sauce, mac and cheese with jerky, and with a Doritos. And a Doritos layer, and finally a Lucky Charms infused brownie. Crisp had whiskey fried chicken, and a very violent Slim Jim with Cool Ranch Doritos.
Oh yeah!
Food processed topping. And Leaky had faux pho. Get it?
Yes,
with jerky, air-fried Doritos, chicken fingers and fries, and unicorn cheesecake with Lucky Charms and crust. All right, so first of all, for the worst, I have to say, I'm going to back up for a second. I fully expected these to be bad, and these were actually all quite good. So when I say... The worst one, it is with love and with the understanding that this is still far superior than what I had expected. We've got Crisp Giorgetti with 10 points.
Bum, bum, bum.
Sorry, it was the least imaginative of the bunch.
I understand. There's only so much I can do.
And you don't like Lucky Charms, so that's a problem.
Yeah, I know. It's not that I like.
You need a more sophisticated palate to enjoy your Lucky Charms.
Yeah. I am humbled that I am the worst of the worst, or the best of the worst. So thank you.
You got it. You got it. Well, and then our, I was hoping to have our strangest recipe, but again, y'all did really well. So we're going to jump straight to the winner of this episode, of this game show. And it's a close one. I got to tell you, the semifinalists, I'll give you the semifinalists, are Dubs Meat Rub and Miss Leaky Page.
Thank you.
Oh, look out now. Look out. Yes.
While Shishka Skeeters was excellent, was quite excellent, we did get full meals from both of these contestants. So without further ado, I think the winner is going to have to be Dub with his whiskey smoke, tri-tip and jerky sauce, mac and cheese, and the Lucky Charms infused brownie.
Wow, I totally was not expecting that at all.
It was very, very close, but Dub did use all four ingredients.
Sure. Well, thank you.
You are welcome.
I'd like to thank the Academy and my family. Oh, I got played off.
Playing you off, yeah.
That's what I thought you were doing. So Satomi, since you were the quiz master, I know you had something in your mind for this. What would you have brought to the table if you were playing the game today?
Well, I will tell you, I didn't go full bore with it. I just looked at the ingredients and thought, could I do something with this? And the first was something that one of you did, which was, it was Skeeter. I would have soaked the jerky in the whiskey overnight so it would take on that flavor, and hopefully the alcohol would help start to break down that meat. And then I would have done a Lucky Charms ice cream with a salty, savory Dorito sprinkle on top, because I love a little savory with my sweet.
Very good. I'll tell you probably would have won. So,
Don't know about that.
Okay, so let's go from there, and we are going to move on to our main event.
Now it's time for the main event.
Okay, so for our main event today, we are doing something a little bit different. Our top three favorite dishes, home, professional, whatever. I know that we all have stories to go along with some of these, but I'm going to do mine, start with mine first. And my number three is going to be, and this has to be made from my grandmother, because nobody made it better, but a fried chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy. What else did she, and just because she didn't put it together, but fried eggs, because there was something that she did with a frying pan that was absolutely magical. Tasted good all the way through. Skeeter has experienced this before, and it was just wonderful. And now, this is how my grandmother ate every day of her life. This is how my grandfather ate, and they all lived into their 90s. So fried food's not as bad for you as they like to say. I get a guess. I like to believe that anyway.
Even
today when I have fried chicken, it's never as good, but it always brings back that memory. And I feel at home. Fried chicken I feel at home whenever I'm eating that. Fried chicken, mashed potatoes, gravy. Oh, it's the best. Corn on the cob. Yeah. Very good. So let's go with Chris. What is your number three, sir?
My number three is a good steak. And here's why.
What kind of steak?
Filet mignon.
Okay.
When I got the job at Phantom, I promised my fiance that for every year that I was still with the show, I would take her out to a nice steak dinner. And every year we've gone out, except for this year because pandemic, we couldn't go out places. So this year I cooked New York strips because there's a nice little butcher shop. But it's nice because, like, you know, we both like to cook, but every now and then we like to have someone else do the cooking. And if we're going to have filet mignon, we might as well just like, you know,
go for it. Yeah.
Go for it. So it's the most expensive dinner I have every year, except for this year. But it's something I look forward to doing once we are allowed to go back outside.
Very good. Yes. So Tomi, you're number three.
All of these are sort of like sharing my number one spot. So in no particular order, Japanese sweet egg, which is it. Now I know it sounds strange, but it's eggs whipped with, I say whipped, mixed with, sugar and sake and soy sauce. If you've gone to a sushi restaurant and you've gotten, the egg sushi, sometimes they do it savory, sometimes they do it sweet, but I grew up on that. So picture, if you will, a square pan, a little bit of oil. You take this egg mixture and you pour just enough to make a thin, thin layer. And just as it sets, you roll it to the side of the pan, re-oil, put another thin, thin layer, and then unroll it. And you keep doing this. So by the time you're done, you have an egg loaf, if you will. Mm-hmm. That if you cut down is just all of these paper thin layers of this sweet egg. So it's not just the flavor, it's also the texture. And since my mama used to make it, it will always be one of my favorite dishes. And every time I brought it for people to eat, they're like, ew, when I tell them what it is, and then they eat it and they're like, oh my God, when are you making more?
Yeah, if here's the secret. If you want me to try anything, don't tell me what's in it.
Don't tell you what it is.
I'm a picky eater. Don't tell me. I don't want to know. If I like it, I like it. And I don't want to know after I'm done. You just ate a goose egg. I don't want to know. That was a fully fermented.
That was balut.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to choose balut in here.
Balut.
That was a fertilized egg. Just so you know, it was delicious. Mm-hmm. I don't want to know. Mm-hmm.
No. I'm okay.
Courtney, what is your
salty vinegar?
Come off of that one, Courtney.
Yeah, I don't know if I can. Okay, so there's a restaurant in Hawaii that we go to when I visit my parents, and it's called Quinn's by the Sea, and it's literally
it's so good.
It's so good. Well, they make fish and chips. Now, it's not just any fish and chips. They use Ono, which we can't usually get here on the mainland. But Ono is a very meaty and thick fish. So it's almost like chicken in a way. But their Ono fish and chips is probably my favorite dish. One of my favorite dishes. So that's my number three.
Outstanding. It's
just one of the best sashimis too.
Yeah, Ono. If you can get Ono, you can do a lot with it because it's such a hearty fish. Mm. But like I said, it doesn't. I don't know if it's because it spoils in transport. I don't know, but you can rarely, if ever, get it on the mainland. You can really only get it there. It's also called Wahoo.
Wahoo!
Yes, but it's so good.
What's that song too? Skeeter, go ahead, bud.
So, I mean, I'm right there with Satomi. Like, each one of these is my number one. It was so hard to make three. But if I had to start, I'm going with every summer I would spend a week with my grandma in Oceanside. And my grandma was this little 4'8" tall Mexican lady that would make... You'd think you were having Lucky Charms for breakfast, and you would smell this aroma from the kitchen. And at 8 years old, you're wondering, what's menudo? And yeah,
they were
that
big, weren't they?
Became, yeah, they were. But menudo became a staple in my world. I still eat it today. It reminds me so much of my grandma, and watching her make it, she never used recipes. She never measured anything. She just threw it in a pot.
Nobody's grandma did.
Put it in a bowl, and that was breakfast. And to me, that's like, oh, it still hits.
Can you tell us what your grandma's menudo was made of?
Yeah. So her menudo, of course, was the soup base, the stock, and then tripe, hominy. And she would always put pig's feet in there, But I always said, no feet, grandma, no feet, no pata, no feet. And she would stop, and then I would never get the feet because I couldn't, the bones are just But yeah, my grandma's menudo, definitely 1.3.
Nice. So for, but before I go on to my number two, I want to hear in your guys' comments, all our listeners, what is your favorite meal? And how do you cook it if you're willing to share that? We all love to be in this discussion because we'll all be cooking because we're all bored at home. So we can cook now. So if you can do that. Also, while you're at it, hit the subscribe, hit the like, share us with your friends, join the Patreon, go to the website at the end of the week because it'll be brand new and awesome. But I'm not supposed to talk about that, so I won't. Okay. And so my number two is something called Sicilian meat roll. And this is something that I've had since I was 6 years old. There was a lady named Sherry Lozier that taught my mom how to make it, and I loved it. It's hamburger meat, and then you put on ham and turkey, and was someone typing this because I want it, and then cheese, and then keep repeating the process, roll it up, cook it, bake it for, I think it's like an hour and a half, and it is the most wonderful thing you will ever put in your mouth. It's this explosion of flavor, and I'm just in love. Why are we look so happy there, Skeeter?
Some of the faces in this room right now are spectacular.
Because it's not really Sicilian, I'm sure, but yeah. But that's what it was called. So.
No, it is, but it's not called Sicilian meat roll.
Meatloaf? No, we always call the meat roll. That was.
It's a broccoloni.
Whatever.
But yeah, it's meatloaf.
Delightful.
And it's delicious.
Yeah. See, your name was appropriate in the game show. Full circle.
Very good. Chris, go ahead, bud.
My number two of my top three
is Sicilian meat roll.
It is not an Italian dish, believe it or not. It is homemade quinoa chicken chili. My fiance introduced this to me when I started dating her. So it's basically chicken soup, but on crack. Because
literally, that's what makes it so good.
I don't know why I can't stop eating this.
So no matter how much I have, I want more.
So my heart. So what we like to do is. Oh my God. What have I done?
It's one of those shows. It started with Lucky Charms and it just went downhill from there. Woo!
Magically delicious.
Here's my teeth. Sorry.
Oh my God. So basically what you do is you take two chicken breasts on the bone. You combine 8 cups of chicken broth. A thing of pre-cooked quinoa. So you cook the quinoa separately. You put a bunch of cannellini beans in there, 2 tablespoons cumin, a little bit of red pepper flake. You let it simmer for 35 minutes. You take the chicken out. You shred the chicken off the bone, and it should be nice and juicy. You put the chicken back in, stir it up, let it heat for 10 minutes. And it is so good that it's one of the best soups to have in the autumn and on a cold winter day. Hell, I will eat it any time of the year. And it's one of the first recipes that Amanda introduced me to when we started dating. So anytime we cook it, it just brings back, you know, instant like good memories of, you know, just like, I think that was like one of the first things we cooked when we got our apartment, and it's just like it's a nice homey meal, so it just reminds me of like home in her.
Nice.
So
yeah. Satomi,
my next number one is one that's really easy to make, y'all. You ready? You're gonna do this, and you're gonna do this summer. You're gonna splurge on it. Crisp can also
this is what I think it is.
Yes, it is. He can tell you how good this is.
Already.
It's so good.
Just by talking about it. Wow.
Yes, and it's the easiest thing in the world. Barbecued crab legs.
Mm. Yes.
So what you do, that you can actually look up this recipe online. Just look for world's best crab legs. And it's essentially equal parts butter, olive oil, and they call for garlic, but I use shallots so that you don't offend everybody. And you marinate your crab legs in that, and then you throw it on the barbecue. And not even for long. And what comes out, because it's in shell, the meat stays juicy and tender. And then the shallots caramelize on the outside, and some of it gets on the meat, and you crack it open, and it's just like dripping everywhere. And it is so good. It's so good. It's so good.
Wow. Okay. We believe you. We believe you. Please don't.
I feel like it must be good.
I can verify firsthand that it's so good.
Okay. Did the crack go in the crab legs too? Jeez, you people.
Yes.
Because wow. I'm wondering, is it that good?
It is that
good.
It's so good.
Oh. Courtney, get us out of here.
I don't know if I can. I think we've fallen down this hole, and we may never come back ever again. So my number two is a nostalgia thing. Every year we have anise cookies at Christmas time. It's my grandmother's recipe that's been passed down, so I make them now, and she passed it to my mom, and my mom makes them, and my sister-in-law makes them. Not a lot of people eat them because people have this preconceived notion that anise tastes like licorice, and it doesn't. But
it depends
on
who makes it.
Yeah, I mean, it also, I think it depends on whether you grew up with it or not. Like, we grew up eating them because we had them every Christmas. It's a tradition. And they're almost like a cake cookie in a way, in the consistency. They're not very sweet at all. And we always do, we do rope twists out of them. That's how we, mm-hmm. except for the nieces, we roll them out and they use cookie cutters. And then sometimes we'll dye the dough red and green for Christmas, and we'll make candy canes out of them. But it's something that we eat every Christmas, every year since I was birthed.
Birthed?
So,
birthed. With an F. Birthed. With an F.
Yeah, birthed. Yeah, so it's just when I eat them, it reminds me of Christmas because that's our holiday thing. So.
Nice. Skeeter?
So 1.2 going in reverse. one of my favorite memories as a kid was when, of course, another one from San Diego, was where my dad worked was right next door to a Japanese seafood company. And these guys would come right off the boat with every manner of amazing fish from the sea that you could think of. And I was 10 years old and was eating tuna straight from the ocean, still cold, still jumping around, uni, things like that. So like that was like that sushi, just to me at the time, the fresh sashimi dubbed called fish bait my entire life, was just, it reminds me of it was a tough time in my life, but it was amazing just because I was introduced to such good stuff. And to back it up, the memory still in my mind was the Japanese guys played this joke on me because they had this apple pudding, and it was this green apple pudding in this little bowl, and they said, you have to eat the apple pudding because it's so good. And I took a rather large spoonful of what I found to be wasabi fresh. And
that's
it made
a jerk
me
move.
Who I am today.
That's a jerk move.
That's awesome. A butthole move.
That's
why your voice is so deep, because you ate wasabi straight.
Straight, nice. Straight wasabi. Straight, just, oh, but yeah, educational and
nice.
Yummy.
Okay, so my number one, I changed this 3 times since the show started. Yeah, it went from barbecue pork pork ribs to quite a few other things. But let me just go on. And there's a restaurant that is out of business now, but it's the most. It was a Mongolian grill called Shaka's. And that place I loved so much. I would eat there at least once a week. I refused to take a date there when I was growing up because I did not want anything to ruin that restaurant for me. Because if it was a bad date, I don't want to have to know this. I will have no bad memories with this place. Unfortunately, it shut down. And there's several of them that are around the country, but that one was the consistency of the noodles, the way the meat was, everything was just so good. I don't know why.
Dub taught me how to eat Mongolian barbecue.
Oh, it was so fantastic. You know, you put your vegetables, if you're familiar with the concept of it. It's a simple concept. It's hard to mess up. They just did it better than I've ever had it anywhere else. So if they ever open back up again, I will drive back to California to get it.
Kona's. Come to mind. I'm thinking about opening one here in Visalia, actually.
Then I will be there. Chris?
Because of that.
My number one food is my homemade pasta sauce. Also,
gravy. Yeah. Sorry. Bad joke. I'm sorry.
You know, Joe Pesci and James Gandolfini will rain fire upon you if you call tomato sauce.
Yeah, they're
gravy.
Short. It's okay. He's
fixed. Don't worry. He's fixed in to get popped with that.
So. There was a time in my life where an Italian boy from North Jersey like me thought ragu was the be-all end-all. And then my goodness. Fiance was like, you're Italian and you don't know how to make your own sauce? We're making our own sauce. And for the last 6 years, we have perfected our tomato sauce recipe. And our little secret to make it the most delicious thing ever is you sprinkle a little bit of sugar in towards the end. Just a little bit of sugar.
My Sicilian
How diabetic are you? Seriously.
My Sicilian grandmother would beat the tar out of you.
So what the sugar does is I like a sweeter sauce. So you just sprinkle just a little bit.
My grandmother would kill you.
And I swear to you, it's the best thing you'll ever have. And then you could put either ground meat in it, Italian sausage in it, ground meat and sausage. You can do whatever you want with it, but it's a recipe that Amanda and I have perfected throughout the course of us dating, and it's because of her that my palate overall has become more sophisticated. So that's my number one dish.
How high is everyone's cholesterol in this room? Holy crap.
For me, it's high.
So Tommy, go ahead.
Well, Dub, I have your new obsession, if you haven't already gone, that will replace your Mongolian barbecue. It is, yes, it is shabu shabu. And there is a shabu shabu restaurant out by you. It's called Swish. And hopefully they are still open with all this going on. What it is, it's Japanese hot pot. And you go, they give you two options. You can either do shabu shabu, which is named because it's from when you cook your own ingredients, and it's the swishing sound as you swish it in the water.
Oh, nice.
And so usually when you go, you order a plate and you will get, they have a deli slicer where they take frozen cuts of like epically high quality meat, because the Japanese are very, very prideful about the quality of their meat. And they slice it paper thin. And they bring that with an array of vegetables and noodles. They've got this hot pot in front of you that you turn on, and then you take each one of your little goodies and you either leave it in the water to cook or with the meat. It only takes a few seconds, so you just swish it until it's exactly what you want. And then they have dips. And one is usually a ponzu sauce, which is sort of a lemony soy sauce. And the other is goma, which is a sesame seed-based sauce, and you can dip them in either one or both, and you have your bowl of rice, and you will not be able to stop eating until you're in pain, and then you're going to get up and realize that you can't walk, and you're going to have to sit for another half an hour.
Nice.
You know,
I love it.
Yeah. Courtney, do yourself a favor.
Yep. So Swish. I'll definitely check it out.
I know everybody's probably assuming that I'm going to pick some big fancy Italian dish, which I love, but my favorite food in the world is pho. I love pho. I work in Chinatown, so there's a lot of and it's Koreatown, Chinatown, Vietnamese town. It's all over. So all those, there's a pho place like right across the street from my work that has some of the best. I call them bowls of happy because it's just, it's my favorite. I think I know which one you're talking
about. Yeah.
Pho Saigon. Yeah. There's a great Malaysian place in the neighborhood too, but it's just, I love pho. It really feeds your soul in addition to feeding your belly.
Very good. Skeeter closes up, bud.
So my number one was introduced to me in junior high. And I don't get it anymore because we've all kind of diasporaed since then. But it was this dish that the bald guy on the bottom, well, for me, he's on the bottom. His mom used to make just for like Thanksgiving. Dub made it for our chef's foods class in our freshman year of high school. It's called Fafsha. And it's like
chopped noodles, basically.
It's chopped noodles, but it was delightful. And I want to still make it because just it was filling and flavorful, and you put gravy over it, real gravy. The brown stuff, not the red stuff. It's wonderful.
Takes 3 days to make.
Yeah, 3 days to make this stuff. But
I'll tell y'all off the air, but this one doesn't get shared on air.
Yeah. It was the most amazing thing like ever, next to my mom's breakfast bake. But this one, because it just took so much time and there was so much love in it, like that's what made that one like my number one overall. So yeah, that's very it. Fafsha is the bomb for me.
Outstanding. I feel like we could talk for like another 6 hours on this, but we have to close it up because I know we're already over.
Have to eat now.
Hungry. I need to go make sure the shirt doesn't fit anymore after this episode. Ooh, yummy. So go to our YouTube, do the subscribe and like and share, comment, tell your friends about us, go to our Discord, and we have so much stuff coming on Patreon within the next couple of weeks. I'm so excited about this. I am so excited. And until next time, I'm Dub. I'm here with Chris and Skeeter and Courtney and Satomi. Keep on geeking on, guys. I'm going to go eat now.
I'm so hungry. It's ridiculous. Perfect.
You have been listening to the latest episode of the iHeart Geek Show. Make sure you visit our website at www.iheartgeekshow.com. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And if you check us out on YouTube, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. And keep on geeking on to all of you geek rock stars.